whatever.
Okay, do you have a method or a process or a system of how you apply the things that you learn like immediately?
Yeah, I would just say, it's funny, people ask me this. So the question is, do I find a way to implement things immediately? I would just say, I view my, like Neo in the Matrix, I would just say like I'm constantly learning and growing and then like adapting day to day. And again, like when big lessons come like that, like that's when I really have to go like implement mode. I'm always looking to like develop systems better and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I would just say I'm always adapting. I don't know how else to say it other than that.
So you write stuff down, do you record yourself, like, or just some of the different practices?
Yeah, I guess practically, I guess journaling has been the biggest thing for me. Like I journal about everything, what I'm learning, what areas that I'm growing in, and just constantly reviewing that. Like even this year, it was real. The first time this happened to me, I woke up at 3 a.m. one day over Christmas break, and I felt like God dealt with me about 10 specific areas about my character that I really need to grow and develop. Like, not things I need to do, like, hey, do, and perform. Like, these are just things I need to be and really need to work on character-wise. And so I have those in my journal, and I'm constantly reviewing them and saying, okay, what am I doing about this? And I share them with other people. I think one of the best ways you can learn things is sharing immediately. So what do you do? That's one reason I do a podcast on these things. I'm teaching what I'm learning, because that way it's getting back in me. And then I share things that I want accountable in with people. That's why in the mastermind group, hey, guys, here's what I'm aiming at. Help hold me accountable to this. Laura, here's 10 character issues that God dealt with me. If I'm like, this sounds so stupid. One of them is just be excellent in everything I do. And even when I dress, everything. And like a small bullet point on that is don't fart in front of Laura. Literally, because I'll fart at home, like think nothing of it. My wife thinks that's gross. So I guess I haven't grown that much, Ben. But but like I'll fart and Laura will say, oh, that sounds pretty excellent. And then she like she drops the mic and like walks upstairs, and then but again it's like when people know what you're aiming at, it helps you grow and develop, if that makes sense. And then I'm always scheduling leader lunches. That's so one thing when I was your guys' age, Pastor Larry would bring people in just like this and they would speak, and he said you guys should ask every single person that comes in and speaks, ask them out to coffee, and again guys with guys, girls with girls and things like that, or in a group setting, and just pepper them with questions. So always be collecting questions. And then that's actually how I started my podcast. I did that for 10 years and I got to spend time with some cool leaders, and all my peers started saying, wow, I wish I could. And I thought you could if you just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Like you'd be surprised who will spend time with you. I'm shocked constantly. In fact, there's a great minute and a half clip of Steve Jobs. It's just a YouTube ask Steve Jobs. It's a minute and a half. When he was 14 years old, he called the CEO of Hewlett Packard and asked him how to build some like IP board. And that led to a summer internship when he was 14 years old building these boards for the CEO of Hewlett Packard. And so Steve Jobs basically said, I try to return the favor now. He was willing to spend time with a 14-year-old kid. So spend time with leaders.
Yeah. So under point two, you mentioned character development is the most important development. I guess this might be like a two-part question depending on how you answer, but can you develop leadership alongside their character?
Can you give me more context for what you mean by that?
Yeah, so like I guess, because like we mentioned, like, you know, before you even start focusing on like how well of a leader you are, you have to develop your character first. And like how would you know, like, once you're not done, because we're always developing our character, but like once you can start to focus on your leadership as well, like, and how you are just as a leader.
I would just say they're one and the same. Like, I know you can be a leader without great character. I've certainly seen that. But in your development, I wouldn't look to them as any differently. Like, if you're really following God, like, you should always be on a character and leadership development journey, I think. And you guys are already on the leadership side. Always, Bill Hybels said it best, always be leading something. So my question is, what are you leading? Even the little responsibilities you may get here, you're getting leadership experience. And don't deem anything insignificant. Ben and I were just talking, what he's doing now is in getting to start to do here is really so many of the things that God, he got to do in some seasons where I don't know if he loved it or hated it, but God has been developing him for exactly what he's called to do right now for the past 20 years of his career. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And so God's doing the same thing in you. So focus on your character and realize that you're building both. Mm-hmm. And always be building both. You should never end.
That's so good.
So, man. Or did you already ask? I don't want to.
No, I understand.
Okay, I don't remember.
So you mentioned earlier, like in your internship, when you were doing something that didn't really seem that important. Whenever we do things, or we're in a season where we just don't really feel like what we're doing is that important, how do we remain confident that we're still doing what the Lord has called us to do?
Yeah, have a long-term vision. Again, just say, hey, God's developing me. One prayer that I always pray is, God, develop me as quickly and as solidly as possible. Because I want to develop as fast as I can. I don't want to miss you. But at the same time, I don't want to like get so ahead of you that my character can't sustain me. And so I think your character and that'll sustain you for the long haul is getting forged in those moments where you're doing things where you may not feel significant. And if you're not willing to do the things that feel insignificant, I don't feel like you'll ever get to do the things that are significant or that you deem significant. Yeah, I mean, look at Joseph's journey. Joseph was in prison. Joseph was a slave, right? And all these different seasons of his life, I bet for 13, I think scholars say it was 13 years from the time he got sold into slavery to the point where he actually got to step into his ultimate leadership position. I mean, that's 13 years. And I can't imagine he woke up every day in prison saying, like, God, I'm in this significant season. Thank you, Jesus. Like, it's awesome, right? But it said God was with him in the prison. He was with him when he was a slave. He was with him at Potiphar's house. And he gave him favor everywhere he was going. And I found that if you'll be faithful, God will give you favor in every season. And again, just don't, I don't know. There's some, like my pastor always used to say this and annoyed the crap out of me, but he would say like, until you're 30, you're as much a liability as you are an asset. Because one minute you'll do something brilliant and the next minute you'll do something dumb. And I'd always be like, yeah, whatever. But now I'm 30, so I could be like, yeah, that's true. What's up? You know, just there. But I think there's just something that comes with perspective. Again, like I used to, when I worked at a church, at the church, I didn't get paid. I had to work two jobs, right? And so basically from the time I interned, I worked two jobs. Then when I got on staff at the church, I had to work two jobs. I remember feeling like I'd have to work an 8-hour day at the church and then go work at a restaurant for 8 hours. And I'd just be like, God, what the heck? This is so dumb. All the other, they don't have to do this. How come, when am I just going to get to do what you called me to do? But he was building work ethic in me. He was building character in me. He was building all kinds of things in me that I couldn't see, but I can see now. And again, the biggest advice I can just have is the number one vision all of you should have is to make it to your finish line. There's nothing more important. My pastor says that he believes 2% of Christian leaders actually make it to their finish line with integrity. And I don't know how true, I mean, he has much more experience than I do. But my number one goal, period, is I want to make it to my finish line. I want my marriage to make it to the finish line. I want my kids to make it to the finish line. And outside of that, I don't really care. Like, just focus on the finish line. That's 50, 70 years from now. Yeah. If that helps.
Yeah, so first, I just really want to thank you for coming here and sharing with us these amazing concepts and practicals on developing our character and leadership. I know personally, this is like a big moment and just picking up a lot of great things that you're teaching.
Thanks.
And so the question I wanted to ask you was, what was like the price that you had to pay in your 20s to get you where you're at now?
That, right? So, man, just showing up every day. Like, again, I think every price is different, but again, every day this is just me. So like every day I'm growing, right? So like I'm up at 5 a.m. Like I have to get up at 5 a.m. and grow for the next 3 hours, or I read for an hour a day. I'm just going to like throw random stuff at you. Again, I was willing to do stuff at the church that I didn't love. And then I'd be willing to go work an 8-hour job afterwards. That was important, the price I paid. Even just like now with like blogging and podcasting. Again, I'm just starting to get momentum even with the podcast, but I'm 133 lessons in, right? I have 133 episodes. With blogging, I wrote over 1,000 blog posts before I started getting momentum. And I think it's just reps, right? Like I remember I interviewed Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel Cruz, and I'm like, how do you guys get so good at speaking and all these different things? And she just said, reps. Like, just keep showing up every single day and be faithful with what God puts in front of you. Yeah. God didn't put a full-time job where I didn't have to work a second job in front of me, but I knew I was called to you have to go back to like, am I called here? I knew I was called to work at the church, so if that's the price I had to pay, that's the price I had to pay. And again, just focus on the issues. Do everything you can to become self-aware, and don't find your identity in what you're doing. I went through a midlife or an identity crisis actually when I was on staff at a big church, and I left to plant a church with Ben and Larry. And I remember I was so depressed for 6 months because what I discovered was all my value was you guys are a part now. I'm a part of Next Level Church. Woohoo! Well, what happens if you're not? Does that mean you're a nobody, and does that mean you're a loser and that you'll never do what God called you to do? Because that's what I felt like, right? God's never going to use me again. Every opportunity I ever had in life was because of Victory Family Church. Well, you know what God taught me? Every opportunity I had wasn't because of Victory Family Church. Like, every opportunity I had was because God opened up a door. And God's not done with you. And so if you guys can learn that more than anything else, like, don't put your identity in anything you can lose. And the only thing you can't lose is Christ. So that's the only place you should find your identity. If you can get there, and I'd love to say I'm there, right? But when I think about leaving Light of Life, Because I work at Light Life now. I serve the homeless and you don't. What's up? All right. Or you guys might go to take a Facebook picture, but I get to interact with the homeless every day. So, like, I'm a super Christian. And, like, I don't actually think that, but when I think about Light of Life, there is a lot of identity in that. And I've been just trying to get into my place in a heart where if L3 didn't exist, if Light of Life didn't exist, if I didn't have a podcast, if nobody knew who I was, would I be okay with that? And more often than not, no, but I'm constantly trying to get to a place in my heart where I would be.
Yeah.
So it's 10:46. I do want to respect time. I don't know your guys' schedule. I'm glad to answer more questions, or we can end. Okay.
I love that you hit on self-awareness, because that's actually what I was going to ask you. You seem like a pretty self-aware guy, but it doesn't sound like it started that way. So how did you become more self-aware? Like, as you grew in leadership and your faith, like all of that.
Yeah. So self-awareness, I would say a lot of things. One is being teachable, like Ben said. Ben, or Matt's book on the key to everything is great, but if just be teachable. And if people give people permission to speak into your life, and don't just give them permission and say, like, speak into my life, and then not do anything with what they say. Like, take what they say seriously and show them. I didn't put this in my notes, but I have an ebook that I wrote called, like, Making the Most of Mentoring. It's my step-by-step process for getting meetings with mentors, but also what I do. And the number one thing I say is, if you meet with a mentor and they're willing to speak into your life, don't go back to them and ask for another meeting until you did what they told you to do. Or you could tell them how you're actually working on it. And if you do that, I promise you, there's never going to be a leader who won't meet with you. If you go back to them and say, here's everything you told me to do, here's what I did, what's next?
Yeah.
Do you know how rare that is? Mm-hmm. But become someone who's constantly teachable. Always be growing, I would say. There's tons of personality tests where I guess I don't know Will Hutchinson that well, but I guess he's like an expert on some of these things like StrengthFinders, Myers-Briggs, DISC assessment. Take as many of those as you can. And every couple of years, take them, because you may start to think you know yourself, but you may have grown and you're always adapting. But I think those are extremely helpful in becoming self-aware. I think growing your relationship with God helps you self-aware. And then being willing to go to counseling or therapy and go through curriculum like that book, Changes That Heal. Like, that book really, really, really helped me, because there's four sections. One's bonding. Like, did you get bonding as a child? Did you get boundaries? Have you learned to grow into adult? And I forget what the fourth one is. But really, I had none of those things when I was a child. And so I had to learn to get those things in my life so I can get to a healthy place. And I wouldn't say I've arrived as a healthy leader. I still have a lot of issues that I have to work through, but it's been a start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were talking about teachability. What's your personal definition of teachability?
Oh, man.
You're in the teachability house, so you better get this.
Yeah. I'm not good at like creating definitions of things, but I would say this, like, my view on it is I want to be everything that God called me to be. Like, that's always my vision. And if I am really serious about that, then I have to be open to whatever correction God's going to give me, whatever correction other people will give me. And I believe that God puts people in your life for a reason. And so here's a teachability example that I haven't followed through on yet. Ben and I met in November. Ben's known me for 15 years, and he spoke into my life, and he knows me. And this is so true. He said, when's the last time you just got away with God and been alone and been completely quiet with no agenda? And I'm like, never, like ever, ever. Right? And he's like, you need to get that on the calendar, because if you don't, like, it's going to hold you back. It's going to be a lid in your life. And I know that's true. So he brought it up again. Just last night when we were driving, man, I got to put that on the calendar, and I need him to hold me accountable. I'm thankful for friends that do that. So for me, I'm just always looking. And again, sometimes people want to speak in your life and you're like, yeah, like, eat the hay and spit the sticks, right? But for the most part, it's like, if someone wants to speak into my life, like, let's go, because I want to be all I can be, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be fair, right? The people pleaser in me is coming out. Everyone gets a question.
So. You had the lid of insecurity. What was some of the ways that you got past that, or continuing to get past
that? Yeah, I would say continuing to get past that. I think we always deal with insecurity. But again, some of the things I already mentioned, right? It's knowing who you are in Christ and finding that out, and looking for what am I finding my security in that I shouldn't be. And more often than not, it's all the right, wrong things. One thing that really helped me, I went through a tough season of my life where I had a leader in my life that, like, man, I just hated being under. Like, me and my friend, like, basically wanted to die being under this guy. I remember walking past his car, and I told Laura, I'm like, if I had a car bomb, I may put it in his car. I did. I said it. But, and it was extremely bad. Like, I went from a leader, Pastor Larry, who believed I could do anything, who like leans to the extreme side of encouragement, where I felt like I could run the world, to someone who said, like, I'm absolutely worthless. I'll never amount to anything. And so I started to like really believe that. And I've had to learn to like not get too much into either, right? It's just like, okay, I'm just going to please God and find my identity in Him. Surround yourself with people. Again, a lot of things I already said, like surround yourself with people who do things and you can speak truth and that you can be honest with and saying, you know what? I don't feel like I'm a leader. I feel horrible. I feel dumb, and have people that can actually say those are all lies. When you guys get married, that'll really help. If you get married, your spouse will help a lot. My wife's constantly encouraging me. Yeah. It looks like there's a pretty good ratio in here, like even. Just a thought. I was speaking to a group of young leaders once, and I said something like that. I'm like, do you guys like ever, I didn't say like hook up, but like, I'm like, do you guys ever get together? And they're like, they all pointed this one kid, and they're like, no, but he's tried with every girl here. And it was like, but, and you guys are laughing, like no one laughed. And the kid's face are bright red, and he like looked like he wanted to die.
That is so horrible.
But anyway, I don't know if that answered your question, but I think I already spoke to that a lot. Anybody else?
So what do you do when you start to feel like you're becoming complacent?
When I'm becoming complacent? I look for new opportunities. So again, at work, I've had to continue to get responsibilities. And I think that is good to my boss is helpful in this. Like, she's always looking for like what's next. I remember like I got hired at Light of Life to be the volunteer coordinator. And I'm like, yeah, beyond a year of this, like, I'm not going to want to do this. Like, I got complacent. I'm like, what's next? So I think having honest conversation with your mentor, saying like, what do you see in me? Or even if leaders are willing to speak in your life and say, I think you've become complacent, that's helpful. And just asking for more responsibility. I mean, to the other point where like I was washing pitchers, I wouldn't have even thought to have asked for more responsibility, right? But I think it's a great way to have a conversation with your boss or your supervisor, saying, hey, I feel like I'm just doing the bare minimum. I feel like there's a lot more in me. Do you have anything else I could do or be a part of, or another team I can join? Just look for other opportunities to grow. That's what I would do. That's good. Anyone else? We good?
How do you find rest?
How do I find rest? I've been telling me that I need to, and then listen to him. That's probably the most true. Yeah, because I'm not good at resting. And right now I know I'm pushing the boundaries right now. I just had a baby. So, but I think for me, what I found in anything in life is you eventually, the busier you get in life, you have to schedule everything. And if you're not intentional, like your life will go by and you'll never do that. Yeah. So I am trying to schedule, like recently I've been sleeping for like 6 hours a night. I know I need 7 to 8 hours. So I'm starting to schedule days where it's like, okay, like Sundays, I'm not going to wake up at 4 because I need to do work. Like, I'm just going to sleep in. So I'm starting to do things like that. And my wife's been helping me like, hey, like let's schedule this time away with family. Or I know from like at night, from 4 to 7, like I'm alone with my wife and kids, like it's not time to do work. So I would just say schedule everything. And one thing I need to schedule is rest, because I don't, if I'm completely honest with you, which is why I'm so grateful for friends like Ben. You need friends like Ben. That should have been my talk. Great. Well, thank you guys. If there's anything else I can do, there's ways to connect with me on the sheet. I'd love to help you any way I can. Love you guys. Love what you're doing. And I believe in all of you. Thank you.